Can't get anybody better fighting for you than God, can you? You know, you cannot get that. And he fights it with the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Think of that. As long as you stay behind the word, stay in the word, you fight your battle. But when you step outside of it, here's a protection right here. You step outside of it, you're free game. You know what I'm saying? And maybe that's some of our issues we might be having. We really do really well for God for a while. We stay in His word. We follow. Then Friday night comes along. We step out. Or Sunday afternoon, whatever it might be. And we take things back in our own hands. And then God says, okay, I'm fighting your battle over here. And you're over there doing what you used to do. Nothing I can do for you. Then you recognize, oh, wait a second. There we go. Sorry, Lord. And you stay in His word. Speaking His word. And one thing that song does show you is that there's action involved in following the Master. You know, the walls will come down with a shout of praise. Spirit of depression will come down with a shout of praise. You know, amen? It's sometimes we get so depressed that we think there's no hope. And we forget who we are. You're born again. You're a child of God. Amen. What greater thing can it be? No, not a Michigan fan. I heard you, Bonnie. No. But think of that. We have to get into our spirit. Those who are born again, that you are a child of God. Child of God. Amen?
Amen.
Think of that. You're a child of God. Don't let the devil walk on you. Don't let him step on you. Don't let him influence you. You say, get behind me, Satan. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. Woo! I'm the head. I am not the tail. I have favor in the Lord. I have favor because of who He is and who I am in Him. Oh, my. You wake up every morning, all right, what are we going to do today, God? You know, I was reading this the other day. You wake up, it's not that the day was put into your life. You was put into the day. Otherwise, God has a purpose for you. We got to recognize this. Don't run from trouble. Amen, Daryl? And don't look for it either, you know what I'm saying? But recognize who you are. You've got this word, and this word is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Think of that. It's here for us. And for the body of Christ to recognize it more and more. Oh, yeah, when he's singing that song about a man of war, I'm thinking, you know, he fights for us. He's given his word to fight for us, with us, you know. Psalms 91 says His angels have been assigned to us. And they operate by the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
They don't operate by whining. They don't operate by complaining, do they? Huh? No. They operate by the word of God. So, oh, wow. Oh, you guys are awake. Okay. But as we speak His word, but believe His word. Oh, how does faith come, guys? Remember? Faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. Speaking that word of God out. You got a little bit of faith? Okay. At least you got some. Get that word, speak the word out, and let it speak to you. That it is alive. It's not just saying that we have. We have to realize when He says, by my stripes you are healed. Okay. If He said that, and my body the way it is, what's going on here? You know, we got to check ourselves. You got to check yourself. There's sickness, disease in the world. I understand that. But we check ourselves. Have somewhere along the line, have I left the door open? You know, do I have anger in my heart? Do I have unforgiveness in my heart? You know, help me, Lord. You know, you ever have, in the city here, we get what they call a water bill. Out in the country, we don't get that. But the you know, water bill is maybe $30 a month, $60 a month. I don't know. I don't pay the bills here. I don't pay. Oh, really? They pretty high, are they? Okay. They just went up again. Okay. Well, in that case, every other person flushes. Okay, we gotta save money. But you get you. Let's say $50 your normal water bill. Okay, and then one day you get it. Look at $55, then $60, then $70. Hit that here $80, $90. Okay, and it keeps going up. Person is $150, $200. It's $200. Finally, you say, wait a second, something's gonna be wrong here. I mean, right here, I got this thing from the city. Says I have my water at $50 a month, but I'm up to $200 a month. What's going wrong? It's going to cause you to start looking around. Like, man, this is something's wrong. I don't use 18,000 gallons of water a month, you know? Well, then as you start following the lines that your water come in, you find a leak. Here water is running under your house. You didn't know about it. But you're paying for that water. It could come through that little meter. Amen? So we got a choice, don't we? We're going to fix that water. We're going to fix that line. Or we're going to sit around and complain about it. Who would want to sit around and complain about it? Nobody. Why? Because it's costing you money. Because it's costing something really dear to us that we need money, right? So we're going to take it upon ourselves. We're going to find that thing. And we can't find it. We'll hire somebody else. I'll call Chuck Meyer. Hey, Chuck, come on over. Not for dinner. I got a water leak, buddy. He'll come over and he'll help you find it. You know? Why would he come over? Help me. Well, not just because we're friends, we're brothers in the Lord. I'm in need of help. So Chuck will come over. And he'll wear his overalls, whatever we can, you know, get muddy and stuff with, you know. He'll come and help me. Now, I can sit around and complain all day long about my water bill. Oh, man, it's gone up. And Chuck's in there. Okay. Sorry about your water bill going up. But the minute I ask him, hey, will you help me find this out? Well, you know what's going to take place, even? After I complain enough about it, Chuck's going to get sick and tired of hearing me complaining. You know, Starkey, sit down here. Let's talk about this. Now, for the last 6 weeks, you complained about your water bill. Now, how high it is, and how many gallons you're using, but you don't use that many gallons. Is there a possibility you have a leak in your line somewhere? Well, I don't know. I mean, those lines installed 80 years ago. I think they should be okay. You know? Well, let's take a look. It helps me examine the lines. Oh, man, here it is. Mm. Well, it's kind of like going back to our lives today. We complain. We can complain without sinning if we're not complaining just to complain. You know what I'm saying? But if we complain about something all the time, and right here is the answer. Yeah, amen, Nathan. Pick the Bible back there. Awesome. I think your Bible is bigger than mine. I think it is. Maybe it could be a possibility. Chuck, going back to my water line, maybe my meter's wrong. It's not my fault at all. The meter's going crazy on it, you know? Or maybe the government raised my prices without telling me about it. That's quite possible, too. You know, it could be weird. But once I examine it, I find out. And we do the same within our lives. You know, when our lives are not lining up with God, when we say, man, we are joyful, we're an awesome bunch of people, you know, we love the Lord, and it's not lining up, we're down the Molly Grubs all the time, or whatever it might be, we need to check ourselves. I don't have that joy that your pastor talks about. I don't have that confidence. I don't have this, I'll have that, you know? Well, we got to look at the Word of God and say, God, is somewhere along my line, have I opened myself up to things that are not of you? You know? That's how we can be honest with ourselves. Healing has been promised to us and we're God. Amen. Thank you. I got one somewhere. I'm not sure where it was. See, if you look in Isaiah, we'll turn there. Isaiah says, by his stripes, they are healed. Okay? They are healed. When Christ went to the cross, he took your shame, he took your punishment, he took your sins. He took everything, everything from your nature. And Isaiah says, by his stripes, we are healed, our shame is gone. But then in 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 2, it says, by his stripes, you were healed. Well, are we healed or were you healed? Well, Isaiah is looking towards the cross. They are healed. The Messiah goes to the cross. They are healed. And Peter's looking back and saying, hey, he's already been to the cross. They were healed. So, if the Bible says that we are healed and we're not functioning that way, what's going on? Number one, maybe we don't know the word. Maybe we don't know that healing is for you today. And it didn't go out the window when the apostles, it's still here today. The Spirit of the living God, the God Spirit that raised Christ up from the grave, that healed the blind man, is living in those who are born again. That same Spirit is. if we're born again. Not just nice people, good people. I like some of the jokes pastors talks. Pals, I come to church, listen to them. But however he receives it, and then but it's in there, then we realize that, man, you're a child of God. What you speak to the awesomeness. Sometimes we got to repent. What do you mean repent? Well, I said before, I smoked for how many years? I don't remember. God took away from me. I repented. God forgive me for trying to destroy my body. Amen? Okay. And don't get down on smokers, because some of the guys out there eating bacon like crazy. Right? So we recognize that. We do the same thing. God, yes, I know your body says moderation, but a pound a day is moderate, you know? So we recognize that, God, this is my... Hey, God, listen. I ran my temple myself for years. I've been born again for years. And Lord, I see more and more in your word that, wow. So help me. And he'll help you. By his stripes, you were healed. So God, if I'm healed, what am I doing now? What else am I doing that's taking away that healing? Amen? Yeah, that's just being honest with ourselves, you know? Now, if you're sitting here today, you're sick, doesn't mean you sin. Amen? Amen. Amen. Don't get that in your head, okay? Our body's going to wear down. Understand? But I want every mile my body that God's given me. Like my car. I want every mile to get out of that car. I don't care if the fender's flapping in the breeze, you know, smoke's blowing out behind me, just drive in front of me, okay? I want every mile that I can. That's what God wants to do for our bodies, too. That when we, and we do complain, but again, we can complain, but not in a bad way. Understand that, okay? Don't get me wrong on that. You can't walk around like, how would people know how to pray for one another if we didn't talk about it? But anytime we do have a complaint, the Word of God had the antidote, and we speak that Word out and stand on it. Let Him do what He's called us to do. But He's there to fight for us. There's nothing that you're going through or you can go through that God isn't there for us. And sometimes in a fight, the enemy's right there. Let's go this way. Amen? Because your pride will kick in. Hey, Sarky's Lester's down there in the church there. He said he's gonna thump on you, he's gonna kick you today. He doesn't know who he's messing with, huh? I go down there, boom, I come back, my eyes are black, I can't hardly move. Fernando says, Sarky, didn't they tell you he's down there gonna thump on you? Why didn't you go the other way? Very smart, isn't it? See, my pride got my way here. You know, that's why I always do it. Nobody's going to kick me. Yeah. Quit smiling, Lester. I know you got my... But no, let's go the other way. Oh, because that wasn't a fight. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to step away from what we want to do because it's not what God wants us to do. His Word will lead us that way. Amen? Yeah. That's how he fights our battles. And he wants everyone to be victorious, no matter what we're going through. You know, if we find ourselves getting in depression a lot, what's causing it? Sometimes it could be as simple as shutting down your TV. Okay? Sometimes it could be the thoughts from the past. Satan's really good at that, right? Satan bring them back, the things that God doesn't remember anymore. God's chosen, forgive. And forget. He casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, he says, because he don't want to remember it. So when you find yourself dwelling all the time on the past, and it's getting you down, check ourselves. Number one, maybe something in the past that you haven't confessed to the Lord. And you just confess to him. You don't stand in the middle of the church and confess it. You know, the Bible just says confess your sins to one another, but he's talking about speaking, I would call it the elder church, someone or someone that you trust. If, man, I got a problem with sin here, I want you to continue to pray with me. Someone's not going to broadcast the next thing, and next time, you know, right? Hey, let me tell you about Fernando. Oh, man, no. But when you get it off your chest, oh, I have a lot of folks who come in. AA, anybody been through AA or not? But one of the areas, I think maybe the seventh step, you have to confess to somebody something that you really did when, through your alcoholism, that's really shameful. And they'll come in and want to, they reveal it to me, because once they get it out, and get it off your chest, then you got somebody there can pray with you. Amen. So that's really, really lifts you up very well. Then we continue to pray for that person as time goes on. But confessing it, getting it out there, but seeing what might be hindering my healing process. You know, I know when I quit smoking, within 24 hours, a little hair in my lung, they told me it was growing back. And it told me it takes 7 years for them to grow back. Now I'm not with a little hairy thing that does my lungs, you know. What are they? Well, I smoke non-filters. Maybe that's what my trouble was. But again, I talk a lot about smoking, but it's not against anybody who might be here that who smokes. That's just my thing that I had to get rid of, because I wouldn't be here today. I always make sure people understand that, because hot dogs are just as bad as cigarettes, and it just you got to take care of your own temple. So I don't even speak about my temple, you know. But we shared last week. I gave you a verse to think about. Anybody remember what it was? I said, this week, think about this verse. Okay, that's all right. I had to look it up myself. Hebrews 4:12. Remember that? What's that?
I remember you saying, remember that verse. What verse
about the end? Well, I got to get online once while I listen to my sermon again if I realize what it says. But he reminds us in Hebrews, it says, for the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. So when you have a Bible there, this is the living Word of God. That's what he's talking about right here. The Word of God is living and active. You know, some of this was written thousands of years ago, and it's still alive the day it was then. When you read the Bible, it speaks to you, does it not? You know, I don't read a whole lot anyway. But Tom Sawyer, I've seen the movie. You know, book reports in school, I watched the movie, then did my book report, and I flunked most of the time because it's not the same thing, you know. But when you read Tom Sawyer, it's entertaining. But it doesn't speak to you. But when you read this, it reveals himself to you. You want to get to know God better? Get into the Word. What's God like? Look at Jesus. They're the same, you know? And so when you hear the Word of God, you speak the Word of God, it will penetrate, the Bible says, even down to your in the division of your soul and spirit, to both joints and marrow. And that's in the middle of your bone, and that's the highway to your body. You know that? That marrow and the bones. I mean, that's that's one of the main systems that keeps your body in check. You know that? That's funny. I mean, I love every ham and bone and my head. Yeah. Yeah. Life blood flows through, right? Amen. So, if the spoken word of God, we get down to his joints and marrow. Anybody got bad joints? Okay. I know there's nothing wrong with Bengay and all the other stuff you got. I'm not trying to throw that away. But have faith in the word of God and speak it out. In John 1:12, you want water, honey, or something? Yeah, okay. John 1:12. This is basic, but we want to go to it here. If you got your Bible, you can turn to it. In John 1:12, he's talking, it says, yet to all who received him, he gave the power to become sons of God, to those who believe in his name, who were not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So going back to this, one of the very basic scriptures in Christianity, but those who receive Christ Jesus, those who declare you are now you're my Lord and my Savior, become a child of God. Think of that. Some folks are sitting here today, you're not a child of God yet, because you haven't got that point to fill out the adoption papers by saying, God, take my life. I give it to you. You're good people, and it's awesome that you're here hearing the Word of God, but you haven't committed your life yet. And so you're still out there, and either God's our Father, or the Bible says the devil is. I mean, that's what he's saying. But if you're born again, then you're a child of God. But it also tells us that you're a co-heir to the throne of Jesus. Now, I don't want you to think about this. Just think. We can read that real quick and let it go. And think about the things of the world again. Stuff. A child of God. Yahweh. That's who you are. You and Jesus. Brothers. Sisters, and when we say man, brothers, it's family. And we take it, sometimes we don't, it really don't set in a way, you know? I mean, I can look at this here, take this here off. If you look at it. Girl is my woman. She's my wife. 48 years. That's proof, right? Well, proof, yeah. My wife cooked me breakfast yesterday. Double smoked bacon, eggs. Oh, my, delicious. Yep. Really good. Yep. I know who I am with her. She knows who she is with me. Oh, my. I know she'll be there in the morning, do my dishes. Oh, I'm sorry, wait. Our dishes. That sounds better. But see, I know, but take a moment, think about child of God. Man, Jesus, I'm co-heir of Jesus because I received Christ Jesus. If Romans 8:17 tells us that we are co-heirs of the throne of Jesus. I mean, co means, I'll go back here, I won't call you up here. But, your grandma arm there, woman. She said, why do you call me a woman? Because God did. God created a woman. But look, see, we are co-heirs together. Okay? Now, he'll be a fiduciary co-heir of all our debt when we die, but Ryan will be stepping later on. But it means right now, our name is both on our checking account. Do you know that? Whether I put the money in or she puts the money in, we both can draw it out. Co-heirs of the checking account. Co-owners of the checking account. So, when he says that you are co-heirs of the throne of Jesus, what all does Jesus have? What all did he do? Everything. And think of that. He sees us that way. My question, what did Christ do upon this earth? Think of that. Look what he brought joy. Did he not excitement? He brought healing, but he brought the truth. He brought encouragement. Oh, my. There's nothing that got in his way that he can overcome. Yes, he laid his life down for us because he loves us so much. But that's who you are in the eyes of God. God honored Jesus. And he honors us because of Jesus. I mean, to me, that makes this word come alive more and more and more and more. Knowing that when I hear the word and I concentrate on it and it builds my faith, I speak that word out. When I speak the name of Jesus, an awesome song. I want to speak Jesus over my family. Awesome. I mean, that is, it's a song, but it is true. I mean, that is power. Well, I crank it up at home at times and you hear it clear down. I hear it clear Bakersville. That's 12 miles that way, probably. But it's the truth. It's not a song. I'm declaring that. I have that authority over my family. Why? Because God's given me that authority. Why? Because they're my inheritance. My children's children's children, they're under my authority because of the blood of Jesus. When I speak over them, it does something, you know. When I place the blood of Christ on them, it does something. Why? Because they shall be in the kingdom of God. They shall be in the kingdom of God. Because His word promised me that. And folks, I don't know when I'll be checking out of here, but my prayer will be continued from the order of God. continue forever when I'm in heaven dancing, if he should linger in his return. So that's powerful. That's what you have. And so when we get to the point where sometimes your kids can pull your hair out, right? Like, oh, man. Yeah, you can see a little bit there. But I'm telling you what, they pulled the hair out of Christ. They pulled his beard. They say, yanked it out. But he continued to go to the cross for the same person was pulling them out because he saw their destiny. He saw the love that God had for them. So he was there to rescue them from their sins. And we didn't have the same focal point. Hey, okay, maybe call they have no use for it. It won't even talk to you, okay? They're still under your authority, spiritual authority. And you cover them in the blood of Christ, and you speak, they shall be in the kingdom, and that their eyes shall become open. I can do a whole series on this here. And you speak the word of God over them. Even if they're 1,000 miles away, you speak it out. And trust God. And we've said it before, as you do that, you're going to see, sometimes you see things getting worse. Why? Because the devil don't give up easy. That means you're doing an impact. You know, you make an impact in a life. Well, more I pray for them, the worse they get. Praise God. That's because the enemy recognizes you're stepping on his territory, and God's going to take it back. Amen? So we find that encouragement there. Oh, man. Man, get up in the morning. Whatever you have heavy on your hearts in the morning, you get up. You ever dread something, like you make a phone call? Oh, you got to call the cable company and tell them again that they took off RFD channel. I can't watch my radios no more. And they're going to give you all the excuses, okay? So you put it off and you put it off. Maybe yours long to walk too. I'm not sure. But you know what? When you get up in the morning, and I'm going to make this call now. You get it over with. You feel better. That load's off. No matter what they say, at least you got it off. At least you told them what you thought. Amen? And you feel better. Well, when you get up in the morning, you know, oh, man. Oh, and you got all this heaviness on your heart. I want to pray, but man, I don't know. Hey, jump in the prayer right then, amen? Get your Bible out and start speaking. Oh, man, it's just going to tickle you pink. You're excited because you're speaking the Word of God out and praying, making a difference. And you're praying for yourself too, amen? The Word of God is active and sharper than a two-edged sword, amen? Piercing as for a division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. Speak to your body. That sounds stupid. Why? Is your body created an image of God? Is God's word active and alive? Does it penetrate your body? Do our body responds to the word of God? All right, listen up, body. Got another day here on planet Earth. I speak to your lungs. You're going to function just like God created you. Any disease trying to come against my body, any disease that's coming upon my body, well, I have caused it come place. I gave it permission. I rebuke that permission today in the name of Jesus. That these lungs shall function the way God intended them to function. They will breathe in and breathe out. Liver, you're functioning as God created you. And my kidneys, my spleen, my eyeballs, I go through my whole body and speak to it. My skin, ye shall cover me as God created you to. Speaking to my body. Well, you gotta be nuts. I'm crazy for Jesus. But he gave us that authority, that power. You know, and make your list out. Yeah, I pray for every coming to church a lot of times during the day. My whole thing is a prayer time. Either praying for my body or whatever God's bringing to me. But I have no problem speaking to my body. Yeah. Last Tuesday, being the coordinator as I am, stacking up some 2-pound tomato can juices back here in the hall, wearing tennis shoes about this height, one fell off, hit my foot. Yep. I thank you, Lord. I never cussed. He's witness right back there. Amen. Amen. Boy, it hurt. I mean, it hurt big time. And of course, you see how I walk anyway. I can't afford to lose my walking abilities. But once I got calmed down and stuff, I called Carol. Hey, told her I did. I should have been laughing. No. I said, I just need to pray. Let's pray in unison. So we prayed. And I tell you what, my toe turned black. And then with next day, it was kind of like a brown. Now today, it got a little red spot on it. But just the power of prayer. And I never missed coming in here. I was able to make it down here. I just believe in the power of prayer. Okay. The spoken word of God. Amen. Yeah. You, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's the spoken word of God. So you know, when people say, keep me in your prayers, okay. And best thing to do is speak that word out, you know. We prayed yesterday for Lori, remember? Your daddy went in. I mean, dad's in the hospital. You put a baby shower on here. You got a thing to do tomorrow, last night. You got things, all the stuff going on. But man, the power of prayer just takes, it works, guys. It really does. I shared before, Cleveland Clinic, checking out, gone. And Carol looked up my bed. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. My blood pressure down like 50 over 20, 30, yeah. Speaking the word of God over it, but I could hear it, and it's build me up, and did the prayer work? Well, I'm still here. Working, yeah. Again, God says that He has a number of days destined for each one of us. And I believe those days He has destined for us can be shortened, if he'll know that anyway. But He gave us His word to speak over it. And if Carol spoke over me and the Lord and I wouldn't come through it, then it was my time to go. I have faith in that. Because the spoken word of God is powerful. And He wants us to intercede His word and allow Him to take it from there. But there's no dumb prayer. And I don't care how bad the situation looks. I'll speak His word of God out. And let God be God. The devil ain't going to take me home. God's going to take me home. And He'll determine when that time is going to come. Amen? Amen. But speaking out His word of God. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, these are some of the scriptures here that He gave me last night. We won't get into the meat of this till next week. But for us to remember this, you know, because sometimes we get down and out. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Otherwise, as a born-again Christian, that old man's dead. Understand that? He's dead. Your past life, your lifestyle, maybe your family's lifestyle, maybe your family carried a poor reputation in town, okay? And you get down, but hey, listen, that old man's dead. That old lifestyle's gone. You're a new creation of Christ Jesus. Co-heir to the throne of Jesus. And you go, oh, yeah, I'm a member of your family. He did this and this and this. How about you? Oh, no. No, I'm co-heir to the throne of Jesus. My Heavenly Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I think they must be nuts. Are you speaking the truth?
Yes, you are.
Amen? Amen? Now, I would decide when you want to share that, okay? But I'm saying when they come at you, trying to drag your past out. Man, you're somebody different than that. Don't, and they walk away saying they don't pay no attention. Who you want to please, God or mankind? Amen. God, amen. Who gave you a new life, Penny? Yeah, who died for your sins, Penny? Who raised it from the grave? Now, who lives in you? Amen. And Christ. Yeah, that's who we are. Oh, so you're not there anymore, guys. There used to be a saying out there, don't send me a card at the address because my address has changed. You know what I'm saying? Amen. James 4:7-8. Turn that real quick. He said, therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Ooh. So here we are, born again, new creation, co-heir of the throne of Christ. But you still got this, you got the old man, the old woman, however you want to say it, still trying to raise up in you. You get these thoughts sometimes. Okay, what he says to do, very simple to us. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. That's what you're doing this morning, and we gather here. Draw near to God. Hearing His Word, being encouraged, being around other believers. Other believers who've gone through a bunch of stuff themselves, amen? But we've gone through that. Amen. At home, open that Bible up, reading the Word of God. That's how we change. That's how we resist that. And every time the devil... every time the devil tries to bring up your past, man, you get in the Word of God. Yeah, I get people that will text me and say, listen, I'm a tough day today. The old man, old woman trying to come back to life. Great. I'll pray. You know, I'll text their prayer back. How about you? If they had that back in the days, how much bigger will a Bible be? You know? You ever start writing a letter, oh man, I'm going to share this and this and this and this, and you start writing it, and you got to erase and you get spell the word right, and that letter gets shorter and shorter, and finally that's enough. Can you imagine John on the island of Patmos, and he's got this cell phone with like a 10 gig hard drive, and he's putting everything in. I mean, how much bigger would the Bible have been? I wonder how many more words would be in there. Now, we got adequate supply, don't get me wrong. But, you know, the Bible says, I think it was John, that every miracle that Christ did was written in the book. The book cannot contain everything. Oh, man. In John 10:10, which is very familiar, remember, again, when the old man starts coming back around, Satan trying to come around, and your friends, in John 10:10, your friends who are not born again can still be your friends, but you can't take advice from them when it comes to walking with God. I mean, if you got a friend that's a fantastic mechanic, I'd listen to him. Plumber, I'd listen to him, okay? Longer you don't do things, it doesn't cause you to do something illegal to get it fixed. But when it comes to the Word of God, Jesus told us in John 10:10 that the thief or Satan, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, we got to recognize that. Anything outside the Word of God is not there for your benefit. Okay? But Jesus, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. How do we receive that life? We're receiving Him and receiving His Word and following His Word. That's where the abundant life comes in. And sometimes our lives, we find ourselves compromising a little bit. Because the world is different today than it was 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. Sin has always been out there. We recognize that. But sometimes our life, we govern our life by what our government says we can do and can't do. Or what's permissible and what's not permissible. And when it comes to conflict to what the Word of God says, there can be no compromise. Amen? I mean, God said it. This is His way. And if the government says, no, this is the way we want to do things now, and I'm sorry, government, I'm not going to do that way. I'm not sorry. No, government, I'm not going to do that. You're in contrary to the Word of God. You're bringing judgment upon yourself and upon this nation, and I shall not comply. That's where our hearts can be saturated with the Word of God. And ourselves, I mean, it's so easy to get wrapped up into the world, being around people who's already compromised, and thinking, well, okay, the Word of God is watered down. I can do things that the Bible says not to do now because, well, it's different, Bonnie. You know what I'm saying? Sin might have a different name, but sin is still sin. And, you know, that goes back to us recognizing our life, using the Bible for a mirror, and be honest with ourselves. And sometimes, if you have a true friend in Christ, you go to him, you know, and say, hey, listen, you do me a favor. I just don't feel right anymore. I'm just kind of down and out. Will you honestly look at my life? And you know me very well. I don't know. But what do you see in my life that's not lining up with the Word of God? What am I missing? Or could you do that for me honestly? And have someone that you trust, a Christ-centered person, look at you, and out of love, show you that. Okay? Now, make sure that they are a true follower of Jesus. Otherwise, they say, well, you know, one thing I think you got, I think you got too much money. So you got to give me your money, you know. That's what, you see what I'm saying? You never thought of that, did you? Everybody turn around, look at the person behind you. No. But again, it's going back to, really, I want to please the Lord. And I can look in the mirror myself. I can look in my mirror to comb my hair, and it looks fine. You know, because I'm used to, that's the way it looks. Then I can walk out, get ready to come to church, and Carol said, you going to comb your hair? out of love. Amen? I learned, guys, never say that to your wife, though. If you got her close to leaving the door, go. Yeah. Love covers the multitude of sins. The Lord God said, no. I know. Oh, Chuck, we're going to add on that man cave you got right here, I tell you that. Yeah. Because, again, it may be something I'm in my life that I'm hanging on to. I don't recognize it as being sin. But whether you recognize it or not, it's still sin. Amen? And that sin is contrary to the Word of God. And it can take away from what God wants to give me. So when we are honest with one another and share and receive it, it can make a totally difference in our life, you know. And again, it has to be someone that's rooted in the Word of God. Otherwise, you get opinions. And opinions can be okay in certain things, you know. And Lori thinks you cook cookies for 12 minutes. I say 13 different opinions. We're pretty close to it. But when it comes to the Word of God, I mean, we don't want to have that compromise at all. And people might think, well, you're a fanatic. You take this God thing too far. But, man, I don't think you can take it too far in your life. I mean, I know people might tell you, shut down. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. That's okay. I'm not here to beat you over the head with it, you know, but in my life, I'm going to honor God the best that I can. And if He shows me some things in my life that He doesn't want there anymore, I mean, I'll get rid of it, no question. I just hope He never tells me to get rid of my 55-inch screen TV. I just got it, you know. I want to play Atari. Anybody got an Atari? I want to play Atari on that 55-inch screen. Most people don't know what Atari is, do you, anymore? Okay. Mm-mm. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, one before that. But who grew up with Pong?
Oh, yeah. But that's on Atari.
No, we got it. Ours came with our VCR player.
Oh.
Everybody. But Dad worked at GE, so he got GE stuff. But
now she's going to ask you what a VCR is.
Yeah, that's true.
I know what that is.
I don't forget what year it was. He went to JW's. Paid $800 for a two-head VCR, and it came with Pong on it. I mean, you sit there on Sunday afternoon. If you ever played Pong or not, it's ping pong. You don't know what I'm talking about, Marty? Okay. You didn't have one in the barn for your cows? Okay. Well, it's a tennis. It's table tennis. You ever play?
Ping pong.
You ever play ping pong? Yeah. Okay. The little balls. Okay. So you got on the screen or TV then, you got a controller, and you have paddles, like a hand goes back and forth, and you got a ball. And so you hit the ball, boom, and it moves.
Yeah.
Like this.
Doesn't it get faster as you hit it?
And then, not the way I played it. And then you hit it back, and it goes back this way. I mean, I'm telling you, well, it put you asleep. But that was a big thing back then. You play Pong, and I think you're right. If you hit it, you went quicker. But yeah, back and forth and that kind of stuff. And I have no idea what I'm talking about. The TV set now. I don't know. Oh, give up where God tells you to give up, you know, because as we draw closer, you'll find that, you know, you want to spend more time in your Word, so you get away from maybe the what you do for recreation or maybe less TV, that kind of stuff, you know. He never tells you, I don't believe, what you have to do. He'll tell you what He wants you to do when it comes to walking with Him. Yeah, I want you to do that. What's that? It's always our choice, you know. And you realize that He's the greatest thing there ever is, ever was. Being. And the last thing, and we might talk about it later on, but Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. We're coming up with it. Purim is going to be on Palm Sunday, yeah. But anyway, Esther turn out to be a queen. If everybody knows the story of Esther, not you can read the book of Esther. But Malachi, his uncle, her uncle made a statement one time, and she had to make Jesus think this maybe cost her life. Could go talk to the king, and he could put out an appointment, and he could put her to death for that. And so she called for a fast for 3 days for her and her bridemaid, her, not bridemaids, her maids, handmaids and stuff, and for Malachi and the Jewish folks, because otherwise the Jews are going to be wiped out. And it was awesome. One Night of the King, yeah, it is a good movie. Yeah, I don't tell people I like it too. Okay. And what happened, to Malachi said this statement to her, said, how do you know maybe you was born for a time like this, or for a deed like this, for your life online? And I can tell you today, folks, you're sitting here today because you were born for a time like this. You're not here by mistake. God purposed everything. You were selected to live in the day of the coming of Jesus coming back. Think of that. He has entrusted you with the end of his ministry. Think of that. And remember John and Paul and Peter, all of them that he used to start his ministry with. Folks, we are the generation. He's coming back. And he trusts in the end time harvest to us. And how to be the great harvester is loving his word, following his word, living for his word. And no doubt, at times I cry out, God, help me. Help me keep my sanity. Help me to be able to do what you called me to do. And he will. I mean, I believe Brother Paul, Peter, and Jill, they probably, no doubt, God, give me a strength. You got me here for a purpose. And we read the scriptures, see what happened in that. But you're here for a purpose. God planned you to be here. He's given us everything we need to be successful for him. Think of that. Christ in you. Christ living in you. Christ working through you. So you are somebody. Amen? So when the devil tries to take you down again, say, get behind me, Satan. You woke up in the middle of the night, and there's some demon there trying to yak at you. Get out of here. Don't be intimidated by it. Don't be intimidated at all. Amen? Okay. But may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he continue to be gracious to you. And may he turn his face toward you and continue giving you peace. May you walk in that peace as God's given us. And may the blessings that God gave Abraham for his children continue to rest upon your household and upon your children's 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 children. All this for the glory of our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.